5. Luke chapter 5. We'll be starting in verse 12 today and go through verse 16. Luke chapter 5, as we continue through the book of Luke, starting in verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth. Lord God, this picture, Father, of needing you, of an overpowering need of you, Father. Lord, thank you that we can come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that you have sent, Lord God, to take care of the sins which we could not take care of. Lord God, to forgive us of our sins. Father, thank you that your plan is the only plan. And Lord, that we are recipients of that plan. We can have the gift that you are offering. So Father, we praise you. We thank you for the fact that as Christians, we are called children of a living God. And Lord, we are humbled because of that. We love you. We ask that you would show us from your word what you have for us today. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Luke, where we have come so far, we have seen that Luke, the only Gentile writer of one of the Gospels, has written as a physician. He has written for the purpose of making things very clear, of being precise in how he tells the life of Christ. But he's written about Christ being fully man, 100% man. We saw that in his birth, the announcements of the birth. We saw it in the birth of John and of Jesus. Then the ministry of John and how God used him. And then the baptism of Jesus and what was declared by God as Jesus came up out of the water. This was his son, whom he is well pleased. The ministry of Jesus, as Jesus started his ministry, it was probably a year into it when he came to Nazareth, and this is where Luke started, Nazareth being his hometown, and the rejection of him there because of their perception of the Messiah and their perception of who Jesus was. But then he went to Galilee, and that's where he's at now in our study. He was in Galilee. He went to Capernaum. The power that he had over physical, the power over the supernatural, and the power over purpose. In fact, his purpose was preeminent in his in what he was doing. But then last week we looked at the calling of the four disciples in the first 11 verses there of chapter 5. And you get to verse 11 and it said they brought their boats to the land and they left everything. They followed him. There was their attitude, knowing that he was God, knowing that who he was and what that was starting to mean to them. Jesus had it in his heart to teach them exactly what that meant. So he called them as his disciples. But what I want to look at today is the willingness of Jesus. Look at verse 12. And be looking at the leper's approach. How the leper approached him. Verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. One of the cities. We don't know which one. Could still be Capernaum, most likely not. He was going throughout Galilee. Remember in the last section where he was wanting to, his purpose, when we looked at the power of his purpose, he needed to go to a lot of cities, needed to go to a lot of places and tell this truth that he was telling to show the glory of God. So he was in one of the cities. We don't know which one, and we know it was probably in Galilee. But he was there, and it says, behold. Anytime you see in the New Testament, you see the word behold, catch that. Because it's in the Greek, in the original language, it means grab this, grab onto this, because this is important. All right? So anytime you see that, behold, that's somebody making an emphasis. So Paul here, not Paul, let's go with Luke. Paul writes everything, right? Luke here wanted to emphasize this. He wanted to emphasize this because he was a physician. And think about this, because look what he emphasizes. He says, there was a man covered with leprosy. There was a man covered with leprosy. He didn't just say, there was a man who had leprosy. Or there was a man who had a little bit of leprosy or had a basic skin problem. You know, he said he was covered with leprosy. The word covered means full. It's much like today I was talking to a doctor one time, and he said, you know, we had this one patient, we opened him up, and they were full of cancer. So we just closed them back up. Instead of operating, they were full of cancer. It's the same thing. He was full of leprosy. In other words, he had it completely. It was totally engulfed him. Now, leprosy is something we don't understand a lot because we don't see it a lot here. There is still leprosy today. It's thought to be a flesh-eating disease. It is not a flesh-eating disease. It, especially in this day, the worst cases of leprosy are today called Hansen's disease because of the man who discovered or had some hand in discovering it anyway. But it's a bacteria that attacks the skin, but it doesn't eat the skin. It attacks the peripheral nerves under the skin. So, and it, mainly in the joints, in the elbow, the wrist, the ankles, the knees. And what it does, it attacks those nerves, which is very painful. So it's a lot of pain, but it also makes the places underneath, the toes, the feet, the hands, the fingers, it deadens them. So that the people don't know when they're being burned. They don't know when. So that's why a lot of times the problems were in the hands or the feet because they didn't understand, or they didn't know it, that those places were dead. And they would burn themselves, or they would destroy part of their fingers or toes, or but it also formed lesions on the skin, and it disfigured the people. Oftentimes, it would collapse the noses on the face. It was called a lion's disease because it would make the face very deformed. But what the people understood with leprosy was through the Old Testament. There were two people specifically in the Old Testament, one in 2 Kings, Gehazi, and one in 2 Chronicles, which is Uzziah. And both of them were cursed by God with leprosy, given leprosy as a curse. And so the people in Israel and the surrounding too, but specifically in Israel, they looked at it as a curse from God. They believed that if you had leprosy, then you had done something or somebody had done something in your life, and you were cursed of God. So if you had leprosy, you were ostracized. You were put out. And it was carried by touch or by air. So you were not allowed to be in a city at all. And in fact, when somebody would approach you, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. You were thought to be physically unclean and ceremonially unclean. So you were ostracized. You couldn't be around anybody except other lepers. So there was a colony of lepers usually outside the city, and that's where you would stay. People would bring food and set it down and then leave, and then you could go up and take it. So you were dependent on those who would come and bring food and leave it. But you could never have physical contact with them. You could never go into the city. You could never go and talk to somebody, or you could be killed. It was punishable by death if you came into the city. So they were seen as unclean. It was very humiliating. It was very heartbreaking to have leprosy. There were only two times in the Old Testament where leprosy was healed. That's with Miriam and with Naaman, the general, and the bad guy's general. All right, there was only those two times that they even knew about. So this was something that was always fatal. It was always fatal, and it was always feared. And this man came. This man came, and he fell on his face. Literally, when you fall on your face, you are worship, falling into a worship position. And that's what he did. He fell on his face. Look what it says in verse 12. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him. So he came close enough to Jesus that Jesus could touch him. So he approached Jesus. He saw him. He approached him. He fell on his face before him. This was the passion. Oh, and look what he said. And he implored him. The word implored literally means to ask or plead. And the amazing thing, it's in the passive voice. So his passion, his heart was pouring out of him. His deepest desire came out in a plea, in a crying out plea. Lord, look what he said. He said, Lord, which was, in this case, because he had fallen down, it was a term for deity. He saw him as God. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He says, Lord, if you are willing. Now, the word if there is not a first class, it's a third class condition, which means it's a true if. Like, it might be or it might not be. So if it rains today or something, it's a question, right? He's not testing God or Jesus. He's not testing him, saying, well, if you're God, you know, then you could do something about this. He's not testing him that way. This is a true question here. There's in the original language, you can tell whether it's first class or a third class condition. This is a true question. And he is bowing his will to Jesus' will. He says, you don't have to be willing. I understand that. But if you are, I know that you can make me clean. And his whole experience, his whole attitude there was, his passionate heart was, it's up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to you. You see, that's a great attitude. That's an excellent attitude. He was bowing to the will of God, to the will of Jesus. He acknowledged him as God. He acknowledged him as being in control. But he was bowing to that will. He was subservient to that will. He wasn't demanding anything of Jesus. And as I looked at that, and I thought about it this week, that is a perfect picture of salvation. It's a perfect picture. His approach to Jesus is a perfect picture of what salvation is. We're going to look at it as we go along. But look at the Lord's response here, verse 13. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. He stretched out his hand. That was something that was completely not done. Completely not part of the custom. It broke every custom. It broke every normal approach. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. You never touched a leper. But Jesus did. Because he wanted to heal him. Because he wanted to help him. He says, I do desire this. What did he say specifically? He says, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. Jesus' heart was for his best. And as you look at the I don't know. I kept going back to the fact of how we're saved. How are we saved? You know, when we came to Christ, did you come to Christ with conditions? Did you come to Christ? When you come to Christ for salvation, when somebody comes to Christ for salvation, they come to Christ and say, Lord, if you help me get out of this situation, then I'll be your servant. That's not coming to Christ. That's wanting to use God for a certain condition or for a certain thing. That wasn't what he was doing here. He came knowing that he could heal him, knowing that if he was willing, he could. You know, and that's a wonderful way. That's the only way we can come for salvation. But really, that's a great way that Christians can come to God now. Lord God, if you are willing, you could do something about this that goes beyond my imagination. But even if you don't, I still trust you. That's the attitude that we need as we come before God. Because we come before God praying all sorts of prayers, don't we? I mean, we're encouraged to from Scripture. What's Philippians say? It says, instead of worrying, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our request be made known unto God. And when we do that, then the peace of God, which goes beyond understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we're encouraged to pray in prayer. But do we come with an attitude of, Lord, if you're God, if you really are God, you can do this, and if you don't, I'm not sure that I really can trust you about anything anymore. If we come with that attitude, this guy didn't. He came and said, if you are willing, not if you are God, if you are willing, you can make me clean. God can do anything. Does he always answer prayer the way I want him to answer prayer? No. No. Does that mean that he is not God? Does that mean that he doesn't love me? No. He did here. He said, I am willing. He said, be cleansed. And immediately it was gone. He's back to normal, completely healed. Much like when we come to Christ in salvation, we come to Christ broken. We come to Christ completely gutted of ourself. And he heals us. The Scripture says he makes us a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're a new creature in Christ. He makes us brand new. Immediately, he heals us completely. So that was the picture I was looking at between the two. Just a picture of salvation. But here he cleansed him. He was willing. He desired that. And immediately, the sickness was gone. Look in verse 14. I want to look at the former lepers now, not the leper, but the former leper's reaction. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansings, just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. He orders him not to tell anyone, but to go and to show. To go to the priest and to show them. Why? Well, it was commanded in the Old Testament. And that way, he could be put back into society. He could come back into the auspices of society. To go and to make a thank offering, he was commanded. And if you look at Numbers chapter 6, I don't want to read it today. But it gives the whole outline of what a leper was to do. What somebody who had a disease and was to do, was to go back and to give a thank offering in the temple and to show himself to the priests, and they could declare him to be clean. And he did it, I believe Jesus told him this for a couple of reasons, but he said to make an offering. He said, just like Moses commanded. You see, I don't know, we're never told here whether the leper was saved. We don't know that. We do know that he believed that Jesus was deity. We do know that he trusted what Christ could do. We do know that he bowed to the will of Jesus Christ. But Jesus told him to go and observe this aspect of the law. But he told him as for a specific reason. If you look down in verse 14, towards the end of the verse, at the end of the verse, it says, for a testimony to them. See, he wanted the priest to see this. He wanted people to understand that this leprosy was gone. Why? This was something that had never happened besides with those two instances with Miriam and with Naaman in the Old Testament. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. And it simply didn't get healed of it. Once you got it, you were gone. That's it. It was fatal every time. And yet here is a man who had leprosy, was well known to have it. He had come to the end of himself. He had approached Jesus. He had approached in a city. He knew he was going to die. And apparently he was ready to die even that day because he had done everything wrong as to custom. And he had gone right to them and went right before Jesus, went right up to him, fell on his face, and he was healed. So everything he had done wrong had turned out right. But Jesus made that turn out right. But he said, go and as a testimony so that they would know Jesus' power, so that there would be no excuse for their unbelief. But he said, the first thing he said was he ordered them not to tell anyone. Why did he do that? Well, in verse 15, it tells why. Because of what happened. Verse 15 says, but the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. You think, well, that's not a problem. I mean, he's popular. But if you look in Mark, the account in Mark, it says that he could no longer enter a city because there was such huge crowds. He had to stay outside of the city, and people came to him, and they would have large crowds outside the city. That's why later on, you know, there's 5,000 men plus women and children that he fed, and then later on it's 4,000. He had huge, massive crowds, and they were coming to him because they had physical needs for two reasons. Look what it says. But the news about him was spreading even farther. Large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. To hear him, to hear that message, the interesting message, and to take personal advantage, to be healed of their sicknesses. This man could heal leprosy. This man was amazing. So he was gaining in popularity. Now remember, not all of them were looking for the truth. They were fascinated by this healer. And we'll see that later on. I mean, Jesus is forever putting up a blockade in front of his followers. As people follow him, and then he turns around and he puts up a blockade, and people are going, are you kidding? And so many people stopped following him and stopped because they didn't truly believe he was a Messiah. They wanted him to be the Messiah, to be their version of a Messiah. They wanted their Messiah to take over Rome. They wanted their Messiah to be the King of Israel, to free them. They wanted their Messiah to do what everything physical that they needed. And even all of these people were caught up in that. They wanted to hear him. Yeah, he was fascinating to hear because he spoke with authority. He was amazing. But they also wanted to get healed. They wanted him to take care of their physical needs. And later on, we see they wanted him to feed them. Just like Moses. Remember the crowd that was fed, the 5,000 that were fed, came and found him again and said, give us another sign. He says, you're just here because you got fed. He said, well, give us that sign. You know, Moses, the people with Moses, they had manna all the time. They didn't have to go to work. They didn't. Well, they could just sit back and relax and get fed all the time. But their purpose, their whole thought process was on the physical. And even the leper, he didn't stop telling everyone. He increased in telling everyone. Jesus said, don't tell anyone about that. He went out and told everyone he knew. Plus, we see that in Mark, that he spread the word generously. He spread the word completely. Why? Because this was exciting physically. Jesus was handling physical issues, but you know what? The physical issues weren't the most vital. Look at the next verse. This is Jesus' reaction. And Jesus was extremely popular here. He had fame, he had everything he wanted, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He would slip away where they wouldn't find him in the wilderness and pray, commune with his Father. Why? Because what's spiritual is more vital than what's physical. And I know we've talked about that so much. And it's not that what's physical isn't important. Christ was healing people. Christ wanted to help them physically, but he mostly wanted to help them spiritually. He wanted them to see the truth. And as people, just like we always do, they see the truth they want to see. That he's helping us. He's giving us a physical advantage. We want that kind of advantage. But Jesus would slip away and pray. The value of prayer, the value of communing with his Father. It wasn't just about the great deeds. It was something better, being alone with the Father. He was popular, and rightly so. He still desired time with his Father. The physical needs of the people were important to them. They sought out Jesus, but he sought out the Father, because what was spiritual was more important. And he wanted them to understand. As we go through Luke, we're gonna see even more about that. But he was, what I want you to see, even in what was physical, he was healing so many. He was willing. He was willing to heal. But his desire, his heart, is for our good. And even today, we can still come before him. But we come before him with this truth. Just like he came before his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, if your will is true, if it's your will, you could take this cup from me. But not my will be done, but yours be done. You notice that he has the same attitude as this leper right here. If you're willing, I already know you can do it. I already understand that you have power to do this. If you're willing, you can make me clean. That's the attitude we need to bring before our Father. That's the only attitude he accepts as far as salvation is concerned. But after we're saved, sometimes we tend to try and push God. Lord God, this is something that's very dear to me. You need to handle this, and you need to handle it just like this. Trust me, that never works. Never works. How I want it done is amazingly opposite of how God does it most of the time. Why? Because he has what's best in mind for me and for others. I have what's physically best in mind for myself. All right, so most of the time we come before God and say, look, this would be great. I mean, Lord, this would be great, but what our attitude is, yes, this would be great to us, and this is what we desire. And Lord, you've given us these desires, and I want this person to get saved. I want this person to be healed. I want this thing to happen, Lord, for your glory. I want it to happen for your glory, but you know what? Not my will, but thine be done. So just like this leper's attitude, which was an excellent attitude, that's our attitude when we come before God. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. His will is perfect. And you know what? The best way to find that will is to spend time, just like Jesus did, go into the wilderness, spend time in prayer. Time in prayer. Know your Father. Get to know your Father. And you'll get to know his heart. If you have never trusted Christ, I would love to show you from God's word how you can know him. Not just know about him, but know him. If you have trusted Christ, then know this. When you go before God, go before him with a humble heart. He can touch you. He can take you out of whatever situation you're in. He can do it. He has the power to do it. But don't corner him. It's his will. It will be done. If it's not, then something better is in store. You say, well, something better is in store. What? You know, like the ultimate, maybe dying? Where are you when you die?
You're home. We're home. We finally get to be the ultimate party place. It's great. All right, so everything is not physical. Everything is not wrapped around what is physical. God's heart is for the truth of what is spiritual. Let's close in prayer. Father God,